We started back, clear back on Ash Wednesday, preparing for this day and for this past week. And we began a series of sermons then that looked at some of the different ways that we are challenged on the life of faith, on the journey of faith. And we also looked at how Jesus' example and how his teachings could be kind of a field guide for us in terms of how to get through those challenges and how to live faithfully beyond them, because they're going to come to all of us. Even when we have made a commitment to Jesus, they still come. There will still be times when we are tempted, for instance. There will still be times when we fail. It will happen. And there are answers in the Gospels to any of those things. They're there. And so it made sense to me that we finish kind of this whole thing with the biggest challenge that faces each and every one of us, and that is, whether we want to think about it or not, one day you will die. We all will. But I'm here to proclaim on this Easter Sunday that while one day you may die, one day you will also live again. That is the good news that we proclaim. That is what gives shape to our life. That's what gives us our identity. That's what who makes us who we are. We are alive in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be looking at the story of Jesus' resurrection through the lens of the Gospel of Luke, which is found in chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. We read there, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?' Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened." The disciples and the women, too, had difficulty believing that Jesus rose from the dead, and for good reason, especially for the women, because they had seen him die, and they had seen his lifeless body taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb where it had been for 3 solid days. They knew that Jesus wasn't just dead. Jesus was dead, dead. Jesus was, as my grandma used to say, dead as a doornail. I don't even know exactly what that means, but it's pretty dead, I think. Now, death is something that we're all kind of familiar with. I mean, it's something that we know something about. But compared to people that lived 2,000 years ago, I'm not sure that we really have any idea how closely they lived with death. For instance, there was no such thing as morticians. There were no such thing as funeral directors in that time. If a person died, their body was prepared by their friends and their loved ones. That was who took care of that. In Jesus' case, that ceremonial duty fell to Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, according to Luke's gospel. There may have been some other women there. Really depends on which gospel you read, which women were there. But Jesus had died. Remember, he died late on a Friday afternoon. That was just before the beginning of Sabbath. And of course, once Sabbath begins, no work can be done. So the women had not been able to prepare the body while it was still fresh. So they had to wait. And they had to wait until the sun came up on Sunday morning. So they had to wait a while. But notice they went there as soon as they possibly could. As soon as the sun came up on the first day of the week, Sunday was our Monday, It's the first day of the week. They went to do this. Now, I know that they loved Jesus, and I know that they were happy to do this last thing for him, but I'm pretty sure they were prepared to hold their noses while they did this. I mean, they'd seen death. They knew what death was like. 3 days in a tomb, and if it was warm out at all, there would have been some decomposition. They wouldn't have called it that, but there would have been. They were prepared for that. I'm sure they were. Now, if all of this sounds pretty grim and gruesome for an Easter morning, I'm sorry. But without Good Friday, there isn't an Easter. Without death, there is no enemy to defeat. Death is real. And it interrupts our lives. Oftentimes, when we're not expecting it, it tears us apart from our loved ones. It's a challenge for all of us. And some of us live pretty close to that. Funeral directors, Marcus Fegan was here at the 8 o'clock service this morning, and I saw him nodding his head. Doctors, pastors, we all live pretty close to this. In fact, my doctor, not my former doctor, also our former board chairman, told me a joke. This kind of lets you know how doctors sometimes think. About a doctor that had some bad news to give to a patient. And so he called him into the examination room, and he said, "Listen, I've got some bad news for you." He says, you really don't have very long to live. And the patient said, "Well, what do you mean, doc? How much time do I have?" And the doctor said, 10. And the patient said, 10 what? 10 months? 10 weeks? 10 days? And the doctor said, 9. 8. You get it. Yeah, that's the joke. Death is real. I mean, there's no getting around it. Dying happens. For some of us, it's almost as easy as falling out of bed. In fact, I'm sure that's probably happened more than a few times too. There's no question about it. The truth is, none of us get out of this world alive. It's coming. It's going to come. It's going to happen to all of us. The problem comes when we allow death, or the shadow of death, which I've always loved how the psalmist uses that image. The shadow of death comes over our lives, and we kind of surrender to it even before it comes for us. And we begin to live our lives, and our lives are shaped by that identity. Instead of by the life that we have in Jesus Christ, it's shaped by that shadow of death. And we submit to it, and we surrender to it. And that's not how it's supposed to be. But I've seen it. Years ago, I did a funeral for a woman. She had been just a bright, full of life, and her husband was devastated by this. And a couple of weeks after the service, their grown children called me and said, "You really need to go see Dad. He's not doing very well. He seems like he's given up." And I went. It was a sunny spring afternoon, beautiful day. I knocked on his door, and it took him a long time to answer. And when he finally did, I could see he'd been sleeping, which is, I think, all he was doing at that point. The windows were covered up. The lights were all turned off. He had effectively shut out all signs of life and light from his life. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't too long before I was doing a service for him as well. So death is real. And the thing I love about the Easter story is that it doesn't try to gloss over that. Jesus is you know, presented as dying, really dying. He was dead. He was 3 days in a tomb dead. It doesn't try to deny that. As much as we want to deny it sometimes, he wasn't going to deny it. The gospel doesn't deny it, and the Easter story doesn't deny it. Instead, what it does is it looks death squarely in the face, and basically it says, "So what? Is that the best you can do? We've got something more powerful yet." Easter represents the victory of God's love over the power of death in our lives, over that shadow of death, so that we can live hopefully and powerfully, even when we're suffering, even when we're grieving, even when we're dying. We can live with that life and that hope and that power. I'm proud to be among a people that says, sometimes through tears, while death may happen, so does resurrection. And I've known lots and lots of people in my life that have been a witness to me, a testimony to me of this power. Years ago, I knew a woman, her name was Fern Sharp, and I'll never forget her. She lived to be 100 years old. She, at the time I met her, she was already living in it was the county nursing home. And it was, I don't know if they even have these anymore. It was basically where people went that couldn't afford anything else. And the last couple of years of her life, she was bound to her bed, but people would come to see her because she was so full of life, couldn't get out of bed, but she was full of joy and wisdom, and everybody that worked there, everybody that went to church and lived in that community knew her and went to see her and to check in on her, mostly so they could be blessed. When it came time to do the celebration for her life, her granddaughters came and they told me a story. Didn't surprise me at all. Great story. They said that every year at Easter, they would go and they would spend the night with their grandma. And on that Saturday night, they would all stay up together. And when it struck midnight, they would throw open the windows in her house and they would sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today," at the top of their lungs. There in the darkness of that sleepy little town, they would proclaim the victory of life over death, of God's love over the powers of darkness and death in our world. As disciples of Jesus, that is who we are. That is our identity. More than any other day, Easter defines us. We are people of life and not people of death. Even when the world surrenders to that shadow of death, even when the world surrenders to violence and says there's no other answer, we believe that there is another. There's an end to the story. There's something else that's coming. We don't surrender and we don't submit to it. There's a cemetery in Philadelphia that has the grave of Benjamin Franklin. And on his tombstone, there's an epitaph that he wrote himself, and I think it expresses this kind of defiance a little bit. It says, "The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author." I love that. Ben Franklin died, but he lives again. The good news of the gospel is that we don't have to wait until we die to experience that life and that power. It is available to us right now. That's the good news. That's the message. You may have heard me say this before, that when we become a new creation in Jesus Christ, we die to sin and we come alive to God, and that life lasts forever. That's the equation. That's how simple it is. We die to sin and we die to self. We come alive to God, and that life never ends. Even death doesn't interrupt it. It's just one more transition we make in a life that lasts forever. I want to share with you a story of another man that lost his wife. This is something I've had in my files now for a long, long time. It's about a man named Dwight Stevenson. He was a preaching professor at Lexington Theological Seminary, where I went to school, but he was there kind of before me in the 50s and 60s, and I think into the 70s. He was a professor to my friend and mentor in ministry, a man by the name of Ted Faulkner. When Dr. Stevenson's wife passed away after a long illness in the late 1980s, my friend sent him a letter. And a couple of weeks later, he got a letter back, and he showed me the letter, and I was so struck by it at the time that I made a copy and kept it in my files so I could share it at a time like this. And I'm going to read a part of that letter to you. Dr. Stevenson wrote, "I was at my wife's bedside when she died. Her last spoken words a day before she died were in response to my good night. I said, 'I love you.' She replied, 'Dwight, you know that I love you. I will always love you.' She never spoke again after that. The next day and night, she did not speak again. But as I said goodnight to her this time, I thought, I've heard that the sense of hearing is the first to arise in the womb and the last to go before death. So I spoke to her, believing that she could hear what I was saying. Do you remember back in 1947 when we were getting ready to move to Lexington? I was so wrapped up in writing a book that I felt I could not leave it to go to Kentucky with you to buy our house. So you went and did it. Well, I'm going to have to send you ahead again to find a place for us to live, but I'll be along shortly. Her eyes closed, but her face twitched in the beginnings of a smile. And then he goes on and he says, I now have the calm assurance, not born of intellectual belief, but of intuitive certainty, that she is alive, well, and happy. And it is that assurance that I am living with now. That is Easter hope. That is what it is. We will die. All of us will. There's no getting around that. But we will live again. And the even better news is that we can live in the power of that life and that love and that hope right now. And so on this Easter morning, I want to throw open the windows and quote another great old Easter hymn that we're going to sing here in just a minute, because this hymn speaks to me as well, and I think it says it perfectly. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives. Let us pray. Lord, you have created us and you know us. Your desire is to live in relationship with us, to forgive us, and to live with us forever. We thank you for the love that you had, that we saw expressed in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. Bless us as we continue in our worship and celebrating his life and our life in him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.